Welcome to How to Build a Tent. The show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. Why is John Maxwell so freaking relevant, so popular, such a great speaker, has such great books? That's what I was wondering today when I was reading through some of his quotes. Hi, my name is Matt Williams. If you have any questions or comments or you want to reach out to me for whatever reason, feel free to reach me on Twitter or Instagram at How to Build a Tent. If you want to email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Would always appreciate, as always, those 5-star reviews. You know it. And please subscribe. I know you're just like, I really want to subscribe, but you keep putting it off. If you could just pause the show, go subscribe, and then start watching again. I'd really appreciate it. It takes a few minutes, and it just helps us get the word out. So really appreciate all your support. I appreciate you listening. So let's get into today's show. John Maxwell. He is a well-known speaker and author in business. And why is that? Why is he so relevant? Well, we're going to get into that today. I was reading through some of his quotes this morning, like, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And I was thinking, that sounds familiar. And just like in John 14, where Jesus says he is the way, that he is light. He's the way, the truth, and the light. And he showed us the way. He walked the way. He did the way that Jesus did. He just took that from Jesus. Another quote, a minute of thought is greater than an hour of talk. That sounds like James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then another quote. And lastly, most people want to avoid pain, and discipline is usually painful. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Say, wait a minute, John Maxwell. You're just taking biblical principles and repackaging them as motivational thoughts. And he does a great job at that. I'm not trying to take away from them. I'm not making light of this situation. But I want to give a credit where the credit is due, and that is to the Bible. And all relevant principles that work in life are applicable to business too. And this is my logic. Business is about creating value that customers are willing to pay for. God created the people. God created work. So who better knows about work and people than the Creator himself? And therefore, God's word should be more than able to apply or to be able to be applied to business as well. And we see people like John Maxwell, who I'm not saying anything negative about him. He does a great job of taking biblical principles and applying them to business. But I want you to know that you could just look at the Bible and find principles that are applicable to business, that you have all that you need to be successful in the Bible through the Holy Spirit speaking to you about what he has called you to do. Amen? Amen. So that is why John Maxwell is so relatable and so liked, is because he is using principles created by God. And I want to take that and do that through this show. And in past shows, I've used verses to support my points, but I want to just take a passage straight up from the Bible and then see what we can extract, what we can apply to business just from a passage and see where we go from there. So the passage I want to take today is one that we're all familiar with, we should be familiar with, because Jesus sums up all the commandments into two things. Super easy to remember. You don't need to be a photographic memory person like my wife is. Jesus says in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, yes, I picked that gospel because his name's Matt and I'm Matt, says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? This guy's asking him. And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the greatest and first commandment. But then he adds the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So granted, this verse is talking about the law, and it's talking about just fulfilling God's law, right? But it's applicable in other areas. The Bible is super applicable in areas that didn't exist back then, or even didn't exist, like business. Businesses did exist back in the Bible's day. Paul was a tent builder. So today I want to just focus on one part of it, is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to see what we can get out of that for biblical application to business. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first principle I want us to glean from this is understanding who your neighbor is. And I find that even in just understanding what that meant in the context, people have totally missed it. But in business, it's just as important to understand who your neighbor is. That is to say, your neighbor could be a type of customer. Who is the person that you're selling to? And that is super important for many reasons. And it's so important that people will spend thousands and thousands of dollars, millions of dollars if you're a bigger company, trying to understand who their customer is, who's the people that are buying your product. That can be called market research. It could be finding your niche in the market, finding the people that love your product. And then it's important because when you know who your neighbor is and why they use your product, you can tailor your products more to them and you can sell to them. You can find the places they're at to advertise your product to other people that are like them that may not be knowing, may not be buying your product or know your product. And you can increase your sales that way. So knowing your neighbor is important. First, to know in the Bible, in the biblical context of how do you love your neighbor if you don't know who your neighbor is, but also in business. If you don't know who your customer is, you're going to do a hard time trying to provide value to them and to provide them the benefit and products and services that they need if you don't know who they are. So like I said, tons and tons of time research companies are created, market research firms, just on this alone, is who is your neighbor? Now, as a small business person, a great resource for this has been social media. Social media has reports when you sell ads through them and you see who's clicking on your ads and things like that. They have a pretty good job of breaking down who is buying your products, who's interested in what you're selling, who's interested in your ad. It's actually kind of creepy when you realize how much these companies know about you. One company that I was working with, they needed to verify people's identities. And one of the ways that this company that verifies identities, and they do things with like government contracts and things like that, so it's a legit company, they use social media to verify you are who you say you are based on your location, based on comments that you've said, interest that you have. They have this whole complicated algorithm of so much stuff. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, they know so much about you. That's scary. And obviously if you they're listening in on you, you're talking about something, and then the next day you start seeing ads about that subject. Right? That's part of knowing your neighbor, is they're spying on you basically to know what you're interested in so they can find a match of selling a product to you, and then they can make their ad revenue. It's kind of scary to think about, honestly. But knowing your neighbor is very important. And you think about even your pictures. I don't know if you know this, but the reason why Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion back in the day, which was a huge amount of money, is that there's so much information embedded in the pictures you take and upload. So Facebook was using those pictures and the information, the location the picture was taken, the time it was taken, facial recognition to recognize who's in the picture. And they're using all that information to provide to businesses who are trying to sell ads that are trying to figure out who their customer is. So all that to say, if you're a small business and you're looking for ways to better understand your customer, social media can be a great resource, if not a creepy resource, for you to learn more about who your neighbor is. The second aspect of this verse I want to focus on is love. And really, the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, that one lay down his life for a friend. And I can repackage this as saying love is providing value. And I use the word value all the time. I use it in every episode. That's very purposeful because I want us to think in that context of value. And if you missed my explanation of value, go back to our first episode and binge watch all of them, like them, and comment on all of them too, by the way. That'd be great. But love is really just providing value to someone, right? Jesus provided the ultimate value to us by dying on the cross, he was the cost, and he provided us the benefit of being kings and priests, it says in Revelation, that we have an elevated status, not because of anything we've done, because of what Jesus did on the cross, right? And that is what he is talking about, and fulfilling the love is his love, right? So in business, we should be acting that way. We should be looking for ways like Jesus did for us, sacrificing ourselves for the providing value for our neighbor. And this looks like investment, taking risk. We're sacrificing our time. We're sacrificing our resources. We're sacrificing our energy to create value for our neighbor. Jesus did all that to sacrifice himself for us. He sacrificed his time, and his energy, his body, right? His relation, his status in heaven. He didn't consider it too low to come to heaven or come to earth as a man. Just like that, as Jesus did with business, we're doing these sacrifices to create value for our neighbor. And so that should be our perspective. We should be looking at how to love our neighbor. How do we provide value for our customers in this application of it? And also, this is helpful in providing excellent customer service. And if you missed it, I have another show talking about how important customer service is and how to win loyal customers. But just taking the love of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, singular. And then they give some attributes of what love is. And if you have these attributes in your customer service, you're going to excel. You're going to get the A+ rating and the Better Business Bureau. You're going to have returning customers. You're going to have people that love your product, that love your brand. If you can provide them the love that God provides us through the Spirit, because God created all of us to need that. And if we can provide that through a business in some way, not only do we get opportunities to share the gospel, right? But we're going to be getting return customers. And like, if you think about it, just like Galatians 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit is joyful. Like, be joyful. Be coaching your employees. Be in coaching your direct reports to handle these customer situations and all interactions with customers with joy. Like, just imagine if you don't get that, cranky old Marge on the phone. Like, oh, what are you talking about? Or, outsourcing it. If you handled it, and you controlled your customer service, and if you were coaching them, if you had tight controls on it, and you just had someone, you had people that handled customers with joy, just that alone, how far would it go? And then making peace with issues, like, that should be an objective in your customer service, is making peace. If there is an issue, if there is hostility, if there is something that needs to be reconciled, look to make peace. That's, even if it costs you money up front, it's going to pay you back in the long term. You're going to get returning customers. You're going to get the word of mouth references. Yelp is super powerful. So if you can provide customer service experiences where people are going to go and talk about how you've blown them away with customer service, with making peace with them, with being joyful, you're going to do really well. And today, in the modern age of everyone looks for reviews before they try something new, if you want new customers, you better have new good reviews. Being patient with customers. Being patient is really important. Being kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-control. Because if you are not self-controlled, you're not getting that good Yelp review. I'll tell you that right now. So those are great ways to be applicable of how we can love our neighbor, or that is, how do we provide value and how do we care for our customers that are in our demographic? Thirdly, I want to focus on the part as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this just popped into my head thinking about startups, and I'm sure there's application in business as well, but this is really important for product or market research, especially when you're on a limited budget and you're kind of doing it on your own. When you're thinking about a product or filling a need or creating something new, like an iPad before iPads existed, and you have this idea and you think it's really good, just go through and think about before you go out, before you spend money, before you do any spending, any kind of energy, and just think, is that something I would buy? And why would I buy it? And start thinking as yourself, like, why would I as a customer want this product? And then you can take it, and if you still think it's a good idea and you think that you could provide value to people and people would want it, go out to people and ask them their feedback. Find the people that you think this applies to and some people that you don't think it applies to, and see if it if they think it provides value for them, and see if that is something they'd be interested in. Now, here is a key that I want you to remember that I read in a book, I forgot which, or I would have given credit for it. Or maybe it was a podcast, I don't remember, honestly. It's important to get pre-orders. And what we mean by that is, when you go talk to people and you say, hey, would you like to buy this product? People are gonna be nice, they don't wanna crush your dreams, right? Especially if you're super passionate and optimistic about it, you know this is gonna be the next $1 million idea. They're gonna be like, oh, that's a terrible idea. Like, most people are not like that, right? But they'll say, oh, you know, that's great, yeah, I could see myself buying that. Most people are going to say that, which doesn't help you. That might, you know, boost your spirits up, but that's going to give you a lot of bad data, thinking that, oh, I have the greatest idea, and then you're going to spend money on it, you're going to spend time on it, and then you're going to get to market, and you're going to realize that no one was willing to pay for it. So when you're doing this research and you're trying to see if somebody would buy this product or thinks it provides value for them, ask for pre-orders. If you get pre-orders and you get a lot of them before you even make the product, either you're a really great salesman or you've just found something that's going to be revolutionary, or you created something that's going to be revolutionary, if you get pre-orders and you get significant amounts of them, then you know you're onto something, and you probably have a great product, and it would be something definitely to consider spending your time on. So before I do any venture, even if someone's asking for me to kind of partner with them on a venture, I don't really do that anymore. But when I did, I would take the idea and go out and pitch it to people before I even started, just to see what people's interest is and see if they would want to buy it. And then I would try to take their money. And I found that more often than not, that if people were willing to pre-order it, it was a great idea. And if they weren't, then it probably wasn't going to be successful. So those are a good tip. So know who your neighbor is. Love your neighbors as Christ shows us love. And do the market research and think about, as yourself, would you buy this product? And those are some tips that are going to help you be successful. So that's all for today. Again, please reach out to me with any comments, questions, encouragements. You know, I always love the good compliments. You can reach me at Twitter and Instagram. Please follow me on there at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Please, please, please subscribe and give those 5-star reviews if you really love this show. That would be awesome. I appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great night. Take care.